Good morning, everybody. Are we on? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord, and welcome back to summer. Isn't this wonderful? I can't say as I ever remember seeing our windows open in the month of November. So, hey, we'll take it, right? At least we're not using the furnace today, so praise the Lord for that. Hey, before we get going today, very, very quickly, several business announcements I just want to bring to your attention so I can share these with you and we can get into our worship today. Next Sunday morning, at the end of the worship service, we are having a special call business meeting, and that is for the express purpose of selecting a new nominating committee for the year 2023, and that'll be the only piece of business that we do next Sunday. So that is a special call business meeting. Please visit the Thanksgiving sign-up sheet if you haven't done so already. Thanksgiving, we're just, what, 2.5 weeks away from Thanksgiving. It's coming up on us, so please do visit the Thanksgiving sign-up sheet for those things that we still need to be able to have our Thanksgiving service and sharing that with our community. Next Sunday, the 13th, also is the collection of the Operation Christmas Child boxes. So please, if you've been collecting them and putting them together, please bring them in next Sunday. We'd appreciate that. And also in your bulletin, you'll notice, once again, the announcement as it relates to our faith promises. Now that our missions month is over and we begin collecting our faith promises, our missions committee keeps an eye on that and develops our new missions budget for a new year based upon those faith promises. So I just draw that to your attention again today. Would you find your hymnal with me? And let's go on over to number 228 in our hymnal. And those of you joining us at home, a big old welcome to you. Thank you for being with us this morning. And the hymn that we're going to be singing as a congregation as we begin today, if you have a home hymnal up front of you, is the hymn entitled Rejoice, the Lord is King. You can sing along with us when you hear the organ starting to play in just a moment. Number 228, would you please stand with me? Let's sing, let's rejoice, let's worship together. Please remain standing as we honor our Lord at the reading of His Word. We are going to be reading from Psalm 103 this morning, if you do want to follow along. I will be reading the entirety of the psalm. Listen to the Word of God. It is a Davidic psalm. The Word of God reads like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His way to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love to those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. To those who keep His covenant, and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The reading of God's word. Gracious Lord, it is good for us to be found in Your presence this day, amongst Your people, with Your word before us, in the house of the living God. And Lord, this day, to the God who forgives our iniquities, to the God who heals us of our diseases and redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with steadfast love and satisfies our soul with good. Unto that Lord we give You praise and glory and honor, and we worship Your great name today. Lord, receive the worship of Thy people, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, friends. At this time, we're going to move into our communion meal with each other. Does everybody have their communion cup today? Does everybody have their cup? If you do not, would you just very quickly raise your hand? Our ushers will get one to you. If you are joining us for worship at home, we'll give you a moment to quickly get to the fridge, get your juice, if you don't have it already, and some bread, and you also can worship with us and partake of the communion meal together. A very, very quick note that as you exit today, there will be an offering plate in the back of the church, and that is for our deacon's offering. And I want to thank all of you who so faithfully give month after month after month, year after year, to our benevolent offering, our deacon's offering. To be able to come alongside those who are in need of a blessing or a financial need that week, and to be able to come alongside and be a blessing to them. And that happens because of you and your faithfulness as you contribute to our deacons' fund. So just a very quick note about that. Jermaine Washington and Michelle Stevens gather together every single month to share lunch together. They call it their gratitude luncheon. They've been doing this for years. They do this regularly each and every month. They had been work associates for a good number of years. One day, it came to Jermaine's attention that his friend Michelle needed kidney transplant surgery. She was dying without it. It was brought to his attention that she had been on this transplant list for some 11 months. She was undergoing dialysis treatments. That was actually the only thing that was keeping her alive, but the treatments had a number of physical and medical ramifications to it. She was becoming sicker with the passing of each month. It moved his heart greatly as he saw his friend dying before his very eyes, and he made the decision one day that he was going to donate one of his kidneys to her, and he did so that she could continue living and have a full and prosperous life. One of the things they did together, what Jermaine and Michelle did, is they decided to get together on a monthly basis and celebrate their lives with each other and in this thing that they called their gratitude luncheon, and they would do this every single month. We do something kind of similar every single month. We also gather around a table. We call it the communion table. And it was a reminder to us that somebody gave something to us so that we also might have life. We were not dying. We were actually dead in our sins. And Jesus, our precious Lord, gave to us something that would give to us life eternal. He gave his very own life. He went to a cross, and there he paid the penalty for our sins. And it was because of his finished work on Calvary's cross that today we can have our sins forgiven. As the psalmist reminded us in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, our iniquities will be taken away. And today we're going to remember that again in this gratitude luncheon, if you want to think of it in those terms. And we're going to think of the gift that has been given to us through our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Does everybody have their cup and their wafer before them this morning? If you don't, grab hold of that right now. And those of you at home, do the same also, please. And as we come together with bread and cup in hand, we're going to remember with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of great gratitude, a heart of joy, what has been given to us, the life that was given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave something to us, and today we have life. We have new life. We have life in abundance in what he has given to us. The scriptures tell us that before we eat and we drink, we are to examine ourselves. Can we just use the next minute that's before us to prepare ourselves for this very holy thing which we're about to do as we eat and we drink? And we're going to do so with gratitude, because we who were once dying, we who were once dead in our transgressions and our sins, have been given new life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with gratitude today, we're going to eat and we're going to drink. Let's prepare ourselves now for what we're going to do, and then we will partake of the elements of the communion meal. Pray with me, if you will. Our gracious Lord, as we take just this moment to still our hearts before you and to prepare ourselves for what we are about to do, this very, very holy act of worship and of remembrance. Lord, may our hearts also be filled with thanksgiving, joy, gratitude for what you have done. You have given to us life and life indeed, a life that is found in you. Lord, thank you that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be in an everlasting, eternal relationship with you today and forevermore. Oh, Lord, thank you for loving us so. We're going to eat and we're going to drink now. We're going to do so in Jesus' name. We're going to do so in remembrance of what you have done for us. Lord, receive our worship in this act of remembrance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And now, with bread and cup in hand, together let us prepare to eat and to drink together. Let us eat. Let us drink. Would you stand with me? Let's sing our doxology together, and then we'll continue worshiping our Lord in song afterwards. Let's sing together our doxology.
I can't think of anybody else besides Jesus that we'd be better off surrendering to. We thank you, God, for the work you did on the cross and for the opportunity we have to worship you today, to thank you for the work that you've done, and to lift our voices together to you. Please hear this worship and accept it as our offering to you today. We pray it in Jesus' name.
To Jesus I surrender all, to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. My blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, make with Savior holy thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender.
And since I have the privilege of a microphone in my face, I'm going to abuse it. Today is my mom's birthday, and I would like to sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mammy. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Redeemed, only beauty remains, and my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Criminal's cross, and darkness rejoices though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever, we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Gentlemen, would you join me up front at this time as we take up our morning offering, as we prepare to worship our Lord with our tithes, our offerings. Those of you joining us home are able to join us in this also. Right there on the website where you found us today, there is a link for the Tithely website on the webpage, and you also can participate in worshiping with us. Let's pray together. And we'll take up our morning offering and we'll worship the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the life that we do have in your name, that you are the one who dealt a death blow to death, and it no longer has to reign over us. You have given to us life, life eternal, life today. And Lord, you are the one who gives to us every day. Every day we are recipients of grace gifts. Lord, thank you for loving us so. Thank you that you are the Lord of heaven and earth who provides for our needs daily, who gives to us the all-sufficiency of your grace daily. And now, Lord, in this act of worship, we take up our morning offering. Oh, Lord, may it be pleasing in thy sight. Would you bless these gifts, Lord? Would you bless the families who give to you? And Lord, would you use these gifts today for the furtherance of your kingdom purposes and your kingdom work in this community and for a time such as this? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go into the Lord's Word this morning, I'm going to invite you to find your hymnal with me one more time today. And let us make our way over to number 20 in our hymnal. And for those of you worshiping with us at home, we're going to be singing the first two verses of the hymn entitled, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And you'll see in just a moment why we selected this hymn for this time. It's hymn number 20 in our hymnal. Verses 1 and 2 only for now. We'll save the remaining verses for the close of the worship service today. Please stand with me if you will. Let's sing verses 1 and 2. The hymn is number 20 in our hymnal. Let's worship together. Thank you. Amen, and you may be seated. Keep your hymnal up front of you just for a few moments, okay? And stay right there at hymn number 20. Just want to introduce today's message with hymn 20 before us at this time, and then you can put it away again until the conclusion of the message today. Can we pray together as we draw into the presence of our Lord? And well, we'll see what he has to say to us today and to show us this morning in his glorious word. Let's pray together. Lord, what a blessing it is to be found in the house and in the presence of the living God of heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord, that we can draw into your presence today with joyful song on our lips, joyous thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, we want to worship you today. May our focus and our thoughts and our attention be upon you alone, O Lord. Help us to see the blessed words of Holy Scripture, and that which you would have for us to know and to do and to apply. Lord, would you have your way with us? Give us eyes to see the blessed truths of your word. And Lord, give us understanding and spiritual discernment to our hearts, to the sacred text. Lord, use these words, these thoughts today through your word. Bless our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Does everybody have hymn 20 in front of them? Take a look at the hymn again. A number of things you're going to notice. Take a look at the bottom right-hand portion of hymn 20. This hymn has affectionately been called the Old Hundredth, or others might call it the Old 100th. The hymn title is All People That on Earth Do Dwell. You'll notice the age of the hymn. We just finished singing, and we will sing it again, a nearly 500-year-old hymn. God's people have been singing this hymn for a lot of years. That's why it's affectionately nicknamed the Old Hundredth. It is based on Psalm 100, which kind of gives you a clue as to where we're going to be in our time together this morning. Written by a fellow by the name of William Keith, and is designed to help worshipers give thanks to the Lord. This is what we just finished singing. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with fear. His praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. The Lord, you know, is God indeed. Without our aid, he did make us. We are his flock. He doth feed. And for his sheep, he doth us take. We've reserved the final the final verses of the hymn for the close of our service today. You are aware that during the summer months of this year, we have been studying together what is known as the Royal Psalms. That was a very brief summer series. For the month of November, I thought maybe, well, let's just remain in the Psalms, but let us select a different genre of Psalms, a different type of Psalms that we could study together before we enter into our Advent messages at the beginning of December. And the type of Psalms I would like for us to consider today, we'll start off with Psalm 100 today. These are called Thanksgiving Psalms. If you have a study Bible, it might describe it as, some of these Psalms are often described as a declarative or a descriptive praise Psalm. But they really come under the big category of a Thanksgiving Psalm. Psalm 100, which we're going to be at this morning. So you could close your hymnals and set it aside just temporarily. We're coming back to it. and find your way in God's Word to Psalm 100, because that's where we're going to be this morning. Hymn number 20 was formulated from Psalm 100. So I thought, as we begin to approach the Thanksgiving season in the month of November, let's study some Thanksgiving psalms together on Sunday mornings as we approach the Thanksgiving season. Psalm 100 is a great, great Thanksgiving psalm. So Psalm 100 before you, let's look at its verses together. It's a short one. It only has some five verses. Let's look at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are the people, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So few verses, yet such great praise to our God. Praise and worship is at the very center of our relationship with our God. And he is most certainly worthy of all of our praise. Is he not? This is a psalm of thanksgiving. And how fitting it is to consider this psalm, this particular psalm, as we enter into this month of Thanksgiving, the month of November. The psalmist begins by instructing you and me, verse 1, look at it again, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some of our English translations put it this way. If you hold, for example, a New American Standard Bible, or maybe even the Amplified Version, it puts it this way: shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. The CEV, the Contemporary English Version, says, shout praises to the Lord. And I usually always access Eugene Peterson's The Message. He always has an interesting slant that he puts on his paraphrase. The Message reads like this: on your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter, and sing yourself into his presence. I like that. Sing yourself into his presence. I like the way one Bible commentator put it. He wrote, and I have this written, handwritten in my Bible, after verse 1, do not be subdued in giving praise to God. Do not be subdued in giving praise to God. So this unknown psalmist now invites us to approach the Lord with joy in our worship of his great name. And actually, not just us. Notice from the text, it says not only us, but it says all people of the earth. This is his gracious invitation for all to come into his presence with great joy. And did you notice also, as we read through the text, the psalm not only addresses those aspects of our worship, which include our singing, our service, our entering into his presence, into his courts. It only talks about the aspects of our worship, but it also talks about the expression of our worship. How are we to do those things? And the text says, joyfully and thankfully. It says, with gladness and with praise. That's how we do it. So verse 1 begins, and people shouting praises to the Lord, they do so joyfully. It was the early 20th century Bible scholar, fellow by the name of Herbert Leupold. He wrote this about verse 1. He says, when God's own come into his presence, joy should never be absent. I love that. Not only do we bring our worship to the Lord, we make a joyful noise unto him. We do it with joy. Let us always remember whose presence we are in today. Why is it that we can shout with great exuberance over a game-winning walk-off home run by the home team, or we can scream in great excitement at an interception that wins the Super Bowl for the good guys, or maybe a hole-in-one by your favorite golfer. But when we come into God's presence, so oftentimes we do so with a very subdued and sublime and austere frame of mind. Whose presence are we in? We do so orally, but we do so with great joy. But Pastor, I got to tell you, we're conservative Baptists. We're New Englanders. This is how we're made. This is our culture. Friends, I do not see that as an exception in the text. It is simply not there. Would you like to see what worship is like in heaven? Let me throw out a couple texts for you. Let's do one Old, one New Testament. Keep your finger there in Psalm 100. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, you're familiar with this. It is the story of the prophet's calling, God calling Isaiah into service. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. The word of God reads like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe was filled the temple. So Isaiah can see this heavenly temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, look at what they're saying. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And the worshipers are calling out that thrice holy cry of praise. Holy, holy, holy are you. And then the text tells us, don't miss this. It says the foundations of the threshold of the temple are shaking. I'm sorry, but I do not see this as being somber and muted worship. The foundations are shaking, the text says. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Because here, once again, this heavenly vision, we get to peek into the keyhole of heaven, and we can see what the saints are doing there in their worship of the Lord. Let's start off at verse 9. It's Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The saints there, and friends, we are going to be a part of this company. This is a song that we are going to be singing in glory. Verse 9, they sang a new song, saying, this is what they were singing. This is what we're going to be singing. Worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And we're going to be numbered amongst them, okay? And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Then I look, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. People from every tribe and nation and people groups, and we will be numbered amongst them, are gathered before the throne. And verse 12, don't miss verse 12. It expressly says that they are worshiping him with what? With a loud voice. In the Isaiah, amen. Thank you, sister. I got one person in my amen section today. Praise the Lord, Sharon. In the Isaiah text, the foundation of the temple is shaking. In the Revelation text, the worshipers of which we will be a part. And trust me on this, folks. the excuse for not praising the Lord in heaven will be because, well, we were staunch New Englanders. I'm sorry, it's not in the text. It says they will doing so with loud voice. I love the words of the great Spurgeon when he wrote this. He says, "Can you bear to be waited upon by a servant who goes moping and dejected to his every task? You would rather have no servant at all than one who evidently finds your service cheerless and irksome." What are we bringing to the Lord when we come in worship of His name? Is it a joyful heart, or is our time here together burdensome and an arduous duty? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. "But Pastor, I don't have a great voice." And neither do I. But folks, the way I figure is, if this is the way He made you, and this is the way He made me, and He did, well, you just give it right back to Him. Let Him deal with it. The text is addressing not only our expression of worship, but the heart of worship. And we do so with great joy. To which I say this. May a little text like this, and make your way back to Psalm 100. May a little text like this impact us greatly, deeply. Not only when we are found in this holy sanctuary on a Sunday morning, but I even suggest this. As you are preparing yourself to be here in the presence of the Lord, and you are preparing yourself at your home, and you are getting yourself dressed, and you are driving here on a Sunday morning, may that be a part of your thinking. And as you are entering into the holy sanctuary, or do we come to this place distracted? Do we come to this place with an issue, maybe an attitude towards somebody else, maybe even a brother or sister in Christ? Or are we coming to this place looking forward to, "Oh, when 12 o'clock rolls around, I hope the pastor doesn't go over again"? Or do we come to this place because we can't wait to leave again because, you know, the game does start at 1 o'clock, or we have an activity or a commitment to get to later in the afternoon? Or do we come into His presence knowing that we are here in the very presence of our Maker and Redeemer, the Maker of heaven and earth, and the One who redeemed our eternal souls and fit us for glory? It is His presence we are in this day. So not only use this time to prepare yourself to come into His presence, but to do so joyfully, but in your way in, and may the Spirit of God remind us of this next Sunday morning, on the way in, we're going into the presence corporately of our King and of our Lord. "Oh, may my worship be pleasing in Thy sight, O Lord, and may be done so with great, great joy." May joy be at the very core of our worship. And then did you notice verse 1 again? He says, he calls all people, all lands, all of the earth to do this. Now you might be thinking at this point in time, "Well, Pastor, you know, all of the earth does not worship the Lord." And you would be absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, if anything, at this point in time, Psalm 2 might be a little more of an accurate reflection of what's going on planet Earth this day. Remember one of the very first royal psalms that we looked at? Psalm 2 said this: "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?" That's what's going on today. "And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His Mashiach, against His anointed one, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart. Let us cast their cords from us.'" We do not want to follow this God. We do not want to follow this Lord. That might be a little bit more of an accurate reflection of what is going on today. But back to Psalm 100. Friends, there is coming a day when our Lord Jesus Christ does return, and He will return, and He will establish His kingdom on earth again, and we will see Psalm 100 fulfilled perfectly, and every knee will bow before Him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But still the invitation is there today. Come, come all the earth. Come, come and sing before him. He is Lord and he is God. If you've ever wondered what that kingdom might look like, there are myriads of passages, especially in the Old Testament, that give us a glimpse of what this kingdom is going to look like when Jesus comes back again and rules in glory on planet Earth for that 1,000-year period that we read about in Revelation 19, Revelation 20. Isaiah wrote about it. Listen to this. I'll read just from Isaiah 35, but you can read about the kingdom. These are kingdom passages in Isaiah 60, 61, 62. We're not going to look at those, but those are kingdom passages. Just let me read this one for you. This is Isaiah 35. This is a kingdom passage. This is what earth will look like when Jesus Christ comes back, rules and reigns in glory in Jerusalem, because he's coming back there. Isaiah 35. Listen to verses 1 and 2. Actually, the whole thing is a kingdom passage, but I'll read just several verses here. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. The deserts in Israel are blossoming now, folks. They're blossoming today. This is a foreshadowing of the return of our Lord. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Drop it down to verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and they shall come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Folks, this is a kingdom passage. Jesus is coming back again, and there will be great joy amongst his people. But there is still that call today. Come, come into his presence. Enjoy him. Know him. And then verse 2. Our service to him. Our service to him with a glad heart. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. I like the words of Dr. Warren Wiersbe when he writes, worship leads to service, and true service is worship. When we serve the Lord, we are actually worshiping him. You have heard me say time and time again, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, it is a privilege to serve Jesus. It is a privilege to serve my Lord. And he is mindful of everything that you do for him. Things public, things private, things done in those ministries where maybe many eyes are watching or hearing, or things done in those ministries that very few know about. He knows all of these things. This is the way the Apostle Paul put it to the ancient Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Now, I know that ministry and service and your giving of yourselves and your ministry unto the Lord can at times be extremely time-consuming, might even be unappreciated. And yes, the truth of the matter is there are times when it can even be quite depleting and overwhelming. That is the nature of service. That is the nature of giving. And when you are serving people, it does not end, because people's needs do not end. People's crises do not end. Crisis times do not come just during office hours or when it is convenient for our schedules. Serve the Lord with gladness, with gladness. It's the word simcha. It means joy. It means exceeding joy. It means delight. The word simcha means gladness. It means in festivity. In festivity, not infest. Okay. In festivity. Two words. Let me give you a little clue on this if I can. Especially in those times when your service unto the Lord might be especially challenging. And those challenges will come. They do come. A lot of years ago, a wise old pastor shared with me. And this fella had been in pastoral ministry for over 50 years at this time. He's with the Lord now. And he shared a long, long time ago. With regards to pastoral ministry, we were discussing the topic of people who were somewhat of a challenge to deal with. This pastor told me, he said, Rick, you need to see Christ in the person that you are serving, the person that you are visiting, the person who is making those demands, and sometimes unreasonable demands upon you. You need to see Christ there. If it's a difficult visit, and you will have those, see it as visiting Jesus. If it's an event that you do not particularly want to be at, see Jesus as being there. If it is an especially challenging conversation you need to have, see it as talking to Jesus. In other words, see Jesus in that other person. And I got to tell you, it makes a huge difference. It really does. Because at the end of the day, our service is to Christ alone. That's why we're able to say that we can do this with gladness and delight and with a festive heart. I remember one particular occasion, I had to visit this one gentleman. No, this is when we were living, I'm not talking about anybody here, okay? I would never use anybody in illustration form here. We were living in upstate New York at the time, and I had to visit this one particular gentleman. This fella was rather demanding of me, had a rather overall critical and negative attitude towards life as a whole. Nothing I ever did was ever good enough for him. I had him on my itinerary to visit this one particular day. And needless to say, I was not particularly looking forward to it. But I went on the visit anyways. I went into that visit with a very different attitude. And I decided I was going to visit Jesus that day. Well, I went to the visit. The visit came and went. This fellow's prayed beforehand, as I do before all visits. And this fellow's words, his attitude, his demands, were not any different. But you know what? I was different. Because I had decided beforehand that I'm going to see Jesus there. And I'm going to minister to this person as if it were Jesus himself. And when you begin to view life through this lens, you begin to see service differently. And service to the Lord truly is a privilege. And we serve him with glad hearts. And then verse 3. And know that the Lord, that he is God, we are his. He is the one who made us. We are the sheep of his pasture. Did you notice right out of the chute, verse 3 begins with the word know, yada, to know him. Yada means to know experientially, to know through experience. We can all know other people intellectually, academically. Maybe you have studied a particular person or have read a biography. or autobiography of a particular person. Maybe you have someone that you have made acquaintance with. You might know facts about somebody. But to know somebody experientially, to know somebody with intimacy, that's a different level of knowledge altogether. That is the word that is used here of how we are to know the Lord, to yada, the Lord. We don't just know facts about God as we read them in His Word. We just don't know how the storyline goes. We are called to know Him experientially, and that is a different level of knowledge altogether. Yada carries the idea of intimacy. It has the idea of a relationship. It has the idea of an experience. That's the word that's used here. And we have seen and we know that the Lord is good to us. He is so good to us. He is good to us all the time. And we have experienced those things. The things that He has brought you through. The things where you are at right now. These things form your testimony. It's part of your story. And it's who you are in your relationship with the Lord. You have grown to know Him through His great love for you. Maybe as of late you have grown to know Him through loss. Maybe through great personal loss. Maybe you have grown to know Him through a crisis that has visited your life and the life of your family. Maybe a turmoil that has come in. And through many tears, you have found Him to be faithful, ever present. And you have discovered how His grace is always sufficient for all of your needs. That is the word to know. That is the word yada. That's what the psalmist is referring to. Once again, I quote a favorite author of mine, Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He says, "What we have experienced in our hearts, we openly confess to others, and we bear witness of our glorious God." To know Him through life's experiences. And friends, I got to tell you, never ever shy away of telling others how good He is to you. Don't ever do that. This is your story. So many folks are not shy, even God's children are not shy to talk about the big play and the big game. Let us never be shy or back away of bragging about who our God is and what He has done. And to speak a joyful word about our great God and our King, Jesus Christ. And then verses 4 and 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. In the final two verses, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We enter into His courts with praise. The text tells us. At this point, we see from the pen of the psalmist, we see this picture in your mind's eye, if you will, this procession of worshipers traveling to Jerusalem for one of their festival seasons. Their seasons were in the spring and in the fall. And now they are entering into the gates of Jerusalem. They are approaching the courts of the temple. And they are saying this, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. I love this from J. Vernon McGee. You got to know J. Vernon McGee. He's still on the radio every day, is he not? Every afternoon. J. Vernon McGee. If you go to church on Sunday to worship, make sure you go with thanksgiving in your heart. If you fail to do that, you're not going to be very helpful to your church. And I can just say and say with a southern twang, you're not going to be helpful to your church if you go with a sourpuss. Okay? A thankful heart is the heart that looks to how good the Lord has been to us. The thankless heart is the forgetting heart. The heart that looks at those things that, well, I don't have these things and I don't have those things. It's the heart that compares itself with others and what they have and what we do not possess. It forgets the things that we do have or gets caught up in their pursuits of the things the world tells us we're to be pursuing or to be going after, rather than the things the Lord has blessed us with today. And if we have Christ, it is sufficient. And He is the source of all those blessings. I love the way the writer of the book of Hebrews puts it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, listen to him. And he tells us how to do it. Listen to this text of Scripture. Hebrews 13, 15 says, "Through Him let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God." So our praise to Him is like a sacrifice. Okay, how do we do that? Thank you for asking. Listen to what he says. "Through Him let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name." The fruit of our lips that acknowledges His name and who He is and what He has done. That is our sacrifice of praise unto our Lord. Our thanksgiving to the Lord as we praise Him through our lips, our words, our testimonies, our stories that acknowledge His great name. And again, please never, ever shy away from speaking a word or a testimony as to how great your God is, what He has done for you, what He has brought you through, what He is bringing you through today, because it's all about Him and He is so good to us all the time. Praise His name, a thanksgiving psalm. So as we walk into this house, this sanctuary, or make our way to this place on a Sunday morning, Lord, remind us often of this, that we enter into this place a thankful people. And then finally, the closing verse. This good God who is faithful, whose love endures forever, He tells us, let it be a generational thing. He will bless all generations, those who are His, but let those generations know. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and its faithfulness to all generations. Let those who come after us, your children, your grandchildren, let them know how good the Lord is to you. And once again, I borrow from Dr. Warren Wiersbe when he says, it is significant that the fathers and mothers worship today will have an important influence on their children tomorrow. How true is that? It takes one generation alone, one generation, for faith to die off in any family. Keep the flame shining brightly, sharing, knowing Christ through the fruit of our lips. And I would say this also, friends, do it on purpose. Be intentional in your public praise of the Lord. And I say that because the world in which we live in today, the first three verses of Psalm 2, the world in which we live in today is intentional, and it has a plan to lead our children and our grandchildren astray in deceit and in lies, in a culture of death, in a culture of misinformation. We demonstrate on purpose, with a plan, with intention, to speak of our God and to keep Him alive in the sight of our children and our grandchildren. His goodness, His faithfulness, His trustworthiness, His love, His grace. And we teach them. And we teach them, that next generation, that the things of this old dying world, that the world tells them to chase after and to pursue, those things will never satisfy. Christ alone is the one who can satisfy. Because He is the one who made us. And there's nothing that can satisfy the soul like Jesus does. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Him experientially. We share the stories. We have a heart of thanksgiving. And we hold Him up always as good, as glorious, and worthy of all of our worship and our praise. The Lord is good to us all the time. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, I thank you that you are the one who has called us and called us by name. You have given to us purpose for living. You have given to us of your goodness every day, your grace that is amazing, your grace that is all sufficient. And thank you for loving us so. And Lord, especially in days like this, oh, especially in days like this, may our thanksgiving and our joy in you be utmost. Lord, would you give us opportunity this week to speak a word for you and your goodness to us in this season of thanksgiving? Lord, we know that there are many around us today who are not thankful, who grumble, who complain, who look at the things of the world and become overly discouraged. May they see in us a cheerful heart, a joyous attitude, because it is found in a person whose name is Jesus. Lord, use us this week to the glory of your name. We pray this in your blessed name. Amen. And now, dear friends, back to hymn number 20. Let's visit those three verses that we did not do earlier. Verses 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to ask if you would stand with me. And let's continue to sing the old 100th, this nearly 500-year-old hymn, verses 3, 4, and 5. Let's sing together. Let's praise his name. Dismiss your congregation this hour, Lord. Go with them into their world, their lives, their homes, their workplaces, their schools this week. May Christ be seen in them and through them and around them. And may the sacrifice of their lives, the fruit of their lips, bring glory to you, our blessed Lord. I pray your blessings upon your congregation, O Lord, the sheep of this house. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a blessed day in the Lord. You are dismissed.